On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely, and thanks to the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we'll help you keep it running. Good morning to you, Dan Burns.
Good morning, Denny Long.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, too. Thank you very much. Nice weekend.
I'm looking out the window, and the sun is starting to shine, and it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day.
Both today and tomorrow, absolutely. So if you have a list that that Linda may have given you of things to do, you're going to have a good weekend to do that.
Yeah, it might be a bike ride. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a great day for that. And the wind's going to be down, too, I think, pretty much. Well, Dan Burns, if you're new to the show, thanks for checking it out. Dan has helped us out here, and CCO helped you out for at least 25 years or so. And if you have any kind of a vehicle problem and you need to bring it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop for service, and you want to know, you want to be armed with a little more information than you don't have now, call in your question or send Dan a text. Either one, same number applies, 651-989-9226. Keep in mind, though, Dan will be with us till just about 7:45, so don't wait. If you have an issue with your vehicle, car, truck, or van, call it in again or text it in at 651-989-9226. All right. We already are getting text messages, indeed, Dan. By the way, how was your week today, this past week? Was it busy there at Lloyd's?
Crazy busy, yep. Crazy busy. The past 2 weeks, it's been crazy busy. The, you know, nice weather and people rolling their windows down and changing snow tires and so forth, and they get to thinking about their cars, and so then it's time to bring it in and get it serviced. So, yeah, it's been two very, very good weeks.
Now, I don't know if it's getting late in the season, but lately, just this past week, I've been seeing craters in the road. I mean, huge potholes, almost like they were dug out on purpose. Are you seeing any issues with potholes here in the middle of April?
We have not yet, which is okay. Actually quite remarkable. You know, many years, in years past, we've had cars sitting in our lot with wheels that have been sent out to be straightened and repaired, which is good to know that technology is around. If you do hit a pothole and your wheel gets bent and you feel a wobble, we can oftentimes send that wheel out and get it repaired, which is good news, because oftentimes to buy a new wheel and replace it is very expensive. For oftentimes a couple $100, we can get your old wheel fixed.
Yeah, good. Here's a text, and again, let's see the vehicle. It's a 2007 Range Rover. Once in a while, the car door latches get stuck, and they want to use a lubricant, but they have read, this texter says, he or she says, not to use WD-40. Is there a good lubricant that you guys use?
Well, they're probably saying don't WD-40. What they don't want you to use is a petroleum-based lubricant, because oftentimes in the latch are plastic type pieces, and they don't want those to deteriorate from the petroleum. So maybe what they're suggesting is that you use a silicone based lubricant, which would be better on plastic type stuff. And oftentimes the nice thing about a silicone type lubricant is it doesn't stick around. It goes in there, it lubricates, it does its job, and then it seems to kind of dry up and evaporate, yet still stay able to lubricate what it is that you've lubricated. And so it doesn't leave a big mess behind. And oftentimes when you use an oil-based lubricant, it attracts sand and dirt and dust, and it ends up being a big mess in there. So, yeah, use a silicone-based lubricant, and you'll have better luck.
And usually, correct me if I'm wrong, usually somebody who has trouble with their door latches sticking, isn't that usually in cold weather rather than warm?
Well, certainly cold weather has more to do with it. Just like anything, is stiffer, including your joints, Denny. But everything is.
You're right.
Yeah, everything is much stiffer in cold weather. So that's true. And as the weather warms up, things get move easier and better. That's why you get better gas mileage and so forth. All the lubricants and bearings and greases and all that are warmer and move more freely. So that's true. In warm weather, things are better that way.
Yes, for us too. Absolutely. All right. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to the phones. I think Chuck in Richmond, Minnesota has been waiting there, and then we'll break. Chuck, you're on CCO with Dan Burns.
Thank you. I have a 2015 Chevy Silverado, half ton, and when I start the vehicle, probably within 5 seconds, my big display screen in the middle will make a click and go blank. And then it'll come back on again, and everything will be there except my clock will have reverted back to 12 o'clock. And this will happen probably every second or third time I start the vehicle.
Huh. Well, it sounds like that device, that screen assembly, is losing power. The reason I say it's losing power when that's happening is the fact that the clock turns back to zero. That's what happens when it loses power. And so the repair will be to get at the back of that and get some test equipment in there and see if indeed the power supply to that device is going away or is it failing in the device itself? And oftentimes we will find that it's failing in the device itself, in which case oftentimes we can send those screens out to a rebuilder and have them repaired, which is good because it makes them way less expensive. Not always. We can't always send them out, but oftentimes we can, especially when it's a wiring problem like what you're experiencing, a power problem. So we can send those out and have them repaired, and then in a few days or a week, we get it back, and we reinstall it in your vehicle, and you're back in business.
All right, very good. Let's take this break. By the reminder to our listener, Dan will be with us for less than 30 minutes now. So if you have any kind of a car or truck or van question, call it in or text it in. And before we run out of time, 651-989-9226 is our phone number. It's also our text number. We'll grab more when we come back after this break. 38 degrees going for 58 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located on what exactly point on beautiful Grand Avenue are you located, Dan?
You know, Grand Avenue is getting more and more beautiful every day as the trees bloom out and everything starts to grow. It's beautiful. But we are exactly at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, LLOYDS, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good, Dan. We'll get you that number before Dan leaves us, which is just close to 7:45 or so this morning. Dan, we have callers and we have texters as well. Let's see how many folks we can help out this morning. Roger is first up here calling from Mora, Minnesota. Roger, you're on with Dan.
Thank you. I have a 2004 Expedition. I brought it to a local garage, and they fixed the four-wheel drive. They got that working, but in the results of that, the indicator light of door jar, and the dome lights don't come on now when I open up the doors, and the door locks don't work properly. And also, the engine service light stays on.
Yeah. Well, you have a couple of different things going on there. The door ajar light staying on is causing all of that interior stuff. The fact that your locks don't work correctly, and the fact that the dome lights are not working correctly. On your vehicle, there's this little micro switch in the latch, or in the door handle, or in the latch, in the door latch itself. And one of those switches is not working correctly. Most commonly, we find it to be the driver's door, because that's the one that's used the most. But we can hook it up to our scan tool, see which one of those switches is reading incorrectly, and then repair it. The repair on that gets a little bit complicated because you have to get to the inside of the door latch. And so the door panel has to come apart and stuff. So, but that's a very common problem on Fords, and we work on that all the time. And so you'll have good luck getting that fixed. The check engine light being on is a separate deal. That's on for some other reason. Wouldn't have anything to do with the four-wheel drive, probably. And it also wouldn't have anything to do with the door ajar light. But you should get that in and have that computer scanned and see why that check engine light is on.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Rod. Larry is next up here, calling in from St. Paul this morning. Larry, you're on CCO with Dan Burns.
Thank you very much. Thank you for answering my call. I have a 2006 Town and Country van, and all of a sudden my brake pedal, and I press down on the brake pedal, it's as if I never started the car. You know how you press down and brake pedal and it's hard? I have started the car, and still can't press down, but that's my issue. But it started off with I changed my spark plugs, and I think I bumped something under the hood as I was working in that tight area. I think I made a bump something, and I wonder, could I have bumped a line that connects to the brakes? Because all of a sudden, the day before, my brakes worked fine, everything worked fine, but then I decided to change my spark plugs, I think I bumped something, and I'm wondering, could I have bumped a brake line and hose or something up under there?
I think that's probably exactly what you did. The reason that your brake pedal is hard the way it is because your brakes are not receiving any vacuum assist. That's what makes the brake or the power brakes work is vacuum from the engine. And if you broke one of the little rubber hoses that feed the brake assist, then it will not be receiving any vacuum and you'll have a hard pedal. And so I'm sure that's what's going on. If you open the hood and start at the master cylinder, which is where the brake fluid is, behind the master cylinder, you'll see a big round black thing. And if you follow that hose back towards the engine, I think you'll find that hose has been, one of the connectors or something has been broken and it's causing a leak. And because there's a leak, you don't have any brake assist. So go back and check your work. Also, while the engine's running, you'll hear a whistling noise from where the leak is happening, and that will help you find where it's going on, too.
Well, there's a tip. All right. Hang on, Dan. We're going to take a bit of a break here and then get a look at that forecast coming up here on CCO. A few more minutes of the show. If you have a question, car care type, call it in or text it in. Same number, 651-989-9226. 38 degrees. That weather's coming up here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. All right, Dan, callers, texters, and limited time. So let's get back to it. Steve is next up here calling in from Roseville, I believe. Steve, thanks for waiting. What's your question, please?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a 2000 Miata. Last summer, I was driving, and all of a sudden, the engine quit completely. And then it kicked on again, and then it quit, and then it kicked on again, and it went like this until I got home. And fortunately, I was close to home. I am afraid to drive it because if I get a hard failure, I'm going to need a tow. Any ideas?
Well, I don't have any ideas as to what is causing your problem. Doing some diagnostics, and what that diagnostics would involve is we would put a fuel pressure gauge on your vehicle to see if the fuel pressure is going away. We would put a spark indicator on your vehicle to see if the spark is going away. And then we would monitor a few other things, probably like the fuel injectors and things like that. We'd drive the vehicle with a scan tool on it so we can freeze the information when it's happening. And that way we'd know what we're looking for. Today, we have no idea. We don't know if it's spark or fuel or anything without some more information. So I'm afraid you're going to have to limp it over to your shop and have them give you some help with this. Because right now the window is just too wide open. We have no idea what's causing that problem without getting some more information. And I think you probably are not capable of getting all that information without all the equipment that you need to do that. So I think you're going to have to bring that one in and get some help on it.
Okay, very good. Good luck with that, Steve. I think we have time for a text or two. Any text we don't get, we'll open up the show with them next week. It says, hi, Dan, 2001 Yukon. Running lights work, but the headlights quit at the same time. The door fobs quit, too. Let's see, this goes on. 2 days later, the battery quit also. And then finally, a quick charge to the battery. It runs, but still no headlights and key fobs. What can be wrong there?
Yeah, not quite enough information there, Denny. I'm sorry. But, you know, It's getting in there with my test equipment, my voltmeter, and my test light. And like with starting with the headlights would be to find out where we're losing power. It'd be common for the headlights, the headlight switch itself, to have failed. But we don't know that without some diagnostics to know where the power is going away. So I think you're going to have to bring that in and get some help on that.
You always used to love those detective work when it comes to electrical problems, haven't you? You've always loved
it. Well, I'm patient and curious, and so I don't like to give up before I have the answer. And it's so rewarding, Denny, when you finally get there. And also,
I bet.
It's so simple. It's always clear. But it's very, very rewarding when you've worked hard on a car. And then suddenly, oh, there's the problem. I got it figured out.
The light bulb goes on. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do one more, and then we'll have to scoot here. 2013 Dodge Dart. Every once in a while, the key will stay in the ignition, and the car says it is not in park. Text or turn the wheel. I go forward and back to park. But sometimes the key will not come out. Any advice there?
Well, I haven't heard that one. I don't know if it's in the, it could be in the gear selector. If the gear selector is not going all the way to park and the vehicle's not recognizing it as park, it won't let you turn the key properly to get the key out. It could be that, or it certainly could be in the switch itself, you know, that where you're putting the key in. So don't know without doing some more checking on that either, I'm afraid.
Ken, did you at Lloyd's help people who's, I was thinking about that one texter about the fob not working. Do people come to you and say, hey, I can't get my fob to work at all? Do you guys check on that?
Oh, for sure. Just like everything else on the car, Denny, it's computer controlled and computer operated. And, you know, we have all the scan tools to interface with your car to figure that stuff out. So, yeah, we work on that sort of stuff all the time. And it's getting actually more and more common where everything is done with remote control. And so there's an awful lot of that going on a car.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, we have time for one more, Dan, then we have to go. Can you, and this will take you back, can you put an automatic choke on a manual choke carb, and is it fairly easy to do? It's an older two-barrel Holley carb.
I wonder if they asked that backwards. It's actually very difficult to put an automatic choke on a manual to replace a manual choke, but it's quite simple to put a manual choke on to replace an automatic choke. So I don't. I'm sure it can be done either way, but to make a manual choke automatic would be complicated because of all the vacuum and stuff involved and the heating up of the choke spring would require some modification, and that would be complicated.
It's been a while since you worked in a carburetor, I would imagine.
Well, not as long as you think.
No kidding. Wow, I had no idea.
We still get them in once in a while.
All right. Well, I know you're open for a while today, and folks, maybe we'll stop by and see you next week. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. Or give us a call this morning, 651-228-1316.
I'll see you one of these days. I'll give you a shout. In the meantime, you have a good week coming up, Dan.
That sounds good. I'd look forward to seeing you, Denny. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Stay tuned. Jack Farrell next up here on News.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother Rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.